If you're looking for a spot that's got everything you need to roll, puff, or relax, pull up to Smokers Castles Outlet. From premium cigars, vapes, kratom, all your smoking essentials, they got it fresh, affordable, and all in one place. So skip the runaround. Smokers Castle Outlet is your go-to smoke shop. Big selection, better prices, and good vibes. Located at 4431 Dixie Highway, Louisville, Kentucky. Located next to Cricket Wireless. 4431 Dixie Highway, Louisville, Kentucky.
Another confirmed multimedia production confirmed. Subscribe now.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. Give us something good, good to eat. Give us something good to watch.
The Big and Lazy.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. I'm Big. I'm B-Fines. I'm back with another one. We got a special guest, plural. We gave James White and Shay Smith of the new movie Unravel Loyalty. Welcome to the set.
Appreciate it.
I didn't mess it up, B, man. I got to give myself a pat on the back. Usually, I butcher names and titles, but that was smooth right there.
Right.
I'm proud of you, Brandon. Good job.
Right.
Welcome to the set, man. How's it going?
Doing good.
That's what's up. And so, the Unraveled Loyalty. So you're here to promote this new movie, man. So, what is it about? Like, keep it bland, though. You know,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to let Shay open up with that because she's the writer of the movie.
Okay.
I directed it. You know, but she's actually the writer of it, so we'll let her explain a little bit.
So before we get into that, for the lamest terms, what's the difference between a writer, director, and producer? Like, break it down to...
Well, actually, you know, the writer is, you know, who puts the movie together, you know, with the cast and everything, and their vision of making a story.
Mm-hmm.
And me as a director, I actually take that vision that they have and put it together. It's a lot that goes along with a director as well as a writer, but at the same time, director sees a vision and puts it on the screen more than anything.
Okay. So you want to get into the writer? Like, what was the inspiration behind this movie? What was the...
So the inspiration was a family member. Well, I'll just say one of my brothers was going through something.
Mm-hmm.
So every time he would go through something, he'll come and he'll tell me about it. And he'd tell me his stories. And one day, I just said, you know what? I'm going to write about you. I'm going to write about it. Mm-hmm. And so I started writing. I actually rewrote it 3 times because I was like, I didn't want to put too much of his life in it, but I made this story similar.
Right.
So that's where...
So is this your first... Like, how long have you been in the business?
I've been into filming for 7 years, but this is the first thing I've ever wrote.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So what, when you say you was in the filming, like what aspects of it? Like,
I was always just acting.
Mm-hmm.
Just acting.
Are you acting in this
mm-hmm.
one? Okay. Are you the lead role? Are you the...
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, one of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So is that tough, like acting and writing? Like, as you said, this is your first time writing. Is that like, when you say it's difficult than it was in the past, just being the...
Yeah, it was difficult. It was different because, like I said, when I first wrote it, I thought this was how the storyline and how I wanted to go, and then something else came, and I was like, oh, no, I want to change some stuff. So I started changing. I did it twice until I finally wrote it and scripted it how I wanted and how I wanted the actors and actress to be when it came to playing those roles. And it actually took me a whole year to even... decide I wanted to film it still.
So, what is the writing process? Like, how long does it take to write a movie? And, like, and what's some of the things you overcome, like, writer's block? Have you overcome writer's block?
Oh, man, I had writer's block a whole lot. I'm going to tell you what helped me actually overcome writer's block when I got to that point
mm-hmm.
and I froze. I went and typed my last thought into AI.
Yeah. ChatGPT?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me different ideas, and then that's where I will.
So, what is the movie about, and what themes does it touch on? Question to both of y'all.
Well, I want to go back to something you asked her, and it's funny that it's crazy that you say that because it did take her a year to write this, and how I know firsthand is because this is, you know, my fiance, so
right.
it makes it easy to go through that. The process she took. And like she said, it took her a little minute in the whole year. I'm seeing the vision.
Right.
I'm like, hey, let's get this movie out of here. But, you know, timing, it did what it's supposed to do. But to answer your question, the second question that you asked, you know, the writer part of you know, writing these scripts and stuff, and like she did, she took her time, and that's what made everything on time for us to even put the project together. You know, me, I was like, let's get it done, let's start casting. But you know, she took her time and it came out pretty good, man. I'm telling
you. So what is like the first step? Is it the script, or is it the idea? Maybe you find the characters, you know, that maybe he'll be interested in a movie. Like, what's the first step? Like, what's the
idea? The idea is you know, that comes first. You know, seeing the idea, then, you know, going to the paper or typing, whatever, that comes kind of second, you know. But like I said, with her situation, she already knew what she wanted to write. Based off of, like she's saying, her brother, some stuff happened in her brother's life, but you know, that was the, you know, the beginning steps of it all.
Okay, and what themes does it explore? What would you say?
I think she's trying to tell you without giving too much. Actually,
so I'm gonna just say betrayal, because I don't want to give. Uh-huh. I don't want to give too much.
But yeah, betrayal, and I can vouch for that. It's about betrayal, a friendship, you know. Loyalty, and you know, how the average, you know, person live their lives, if it's someone cheating or someone not just being a friend, more than anything.
So has anybody seen previews of it? And if so, like, what was the reaction? Like, what was the feedback on it?
We put a trailer out, almost the end of November.
Yeah.
And within a day, we had like almost 5,000 views. You know, really? Yeah. This about the end of that day, you know. Then it's like, you know, the trailer, you know, it explained a little bit, but not too much.
Yeah.
And a lot of people's like, man, we can't wait to see this. You know, it looks real good. And, you know, and shout outs to the cast that we picked for the people to play the parts. It, you know, because some of the people we already have a following anyway. So it's like, okay, we can't wait to see them in action.
Well, some of them we didn't pick. It just fell in place. They reached out and said they wanted to be in our next movie, and we was already filming. Mm-hmm. So we pulled them in this. So okay, everything worked. Yeah, it was
perfect timing. When I say
it really
time.
Was.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the film culture in Kentucky, has Kentucky's film scene grown over the last decade? I remember you said you've been years into this.
Yeah, I've actually been into visual filming for like about 15 years.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, I started with music, and I just changed over to the visual part of it, shooting music videos and stuff like that, and you know, stuff like that. But with the culture in Louisville, it's so much potential. It's so many people doing a lot of stuff. And what's so crazy, some of our past projects, it's a lot of actresses and actors that's actually we've had in some of our other projects that's doing a lot of different stuff, you know. And I think with this project, we wanted to switch it up a little bit, bring some new faces to the screen and stuff like that. Because, like I said, some of our other past projects, because we got six other films.
Right.
Besides this one. And we had our last film, we had it in the movie theaters too. So with this one being January the 3rd, it's coming. But like you said, with the Louisville scene, it's a lot of potential, man. I mean,
it is.
It's growing. And I love it because we're in the midst of it. You know, and we want to show with this film that we can all come together and put some stuff together. Other writers, other directors, let's come together and put something big out here. You know, but at the same time, it's like, okay, come on, man, let's come together, Lord. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah,
let's wild them egos and let's work together. You know, come together.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
I seen you say you did music videos. So what made you switch over from music to the film, to the movies?
Well, actually, like I said, I started out doing music. Rest in peace to Stephen Anderson, one of my best friends that passed away. And, you know, it's kind of hard even talking about that, but he's not being here, but we going to carry on his legend. But it was easy for me because I've always been a visual person. You know, when I did music, I always pictured the video with it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and how I would want it. And that's how I used to write a lot of music and stuff like that. So it's like, okay, I always want to be visual. I want to show, you know, because, like, when you play on the radio, you don't see that visual. or you hear it, you don't see that visual, but I always want to be visual to show what I got out of the music. So I wanted to put it on the screen, you know what I mean? And I grew up watching movies, like,
right.
You know, we used to go to the dollar movies out on Dixie Highway a lot. I've always wanted to read the credits, who did this, who did that, you know what I mean? How can I be a part of that, you know, some type of way? I've always was curious to how that stuff worked. So that's what led me to going into the visual part of it.
Because have you seen the movie Belly?
Yeah.
Because that was Hype Williams. And looking back at that movie, it was shot beautifully, but the storyline didn't make. Because they broke it down. I watch his podcast and reviews movies. Mm-hmm. It was shot in, like, it makes sense in 4 minutes, like a music video. Every 4 minutes, it's shot beautifully, the camera.
Right.
But it didn't really make any sense. I was watching today, right. Like, that intro of them walking in and with the acapella going on is... That's one of the best movie intros ever. Like,
Yeah. Uh-huh. I love that. But you know what's crazy about that? You know, Hype, he's a video, you know, he shoot videos, music videos.
Yeah.
So that was something different for them to tackle with a guy that does a lot of music videos to do the actual movie. So that I think he did a good job. And like you said, it kind of bounced off everywhere a little bit there, but it was more about the visual, how he seen it, and how it went. And I try to understand that, too. When I used to watch that movie, I was like, man, okay. But who he had in who's in the movie, and the color grading and all that, that's what made that movie a great movie.
Because Nas, that's my favorite rapper, and that was my favorite movie growing up. But looking back at the dome, I'm like, I don't know, this don't really make sense. But it's a good movie, though.
Yeah.
It's a classic.
Mm-hmm.
Local filmmakers, like, what is some list of films that's been shot in Kentucky?
Ooh, it's been a lot of films shot in Louisville, Kentucky.
And because they did, didn't they just give a tax break to a certain?
Because
I seen they were shooting a movie up Village West. It was like with old. Y'all get the name of that movie?
I remember seeing it. But I think it went back to like a early in the day, mm-hmm. type of feel of the movie. It wasn't something that they shot like it was like a today's time. It was like, because I remember the old cars.
Yeah, I remember the old cars.
So I can't remember what actually that movie was, name of the movie they was making, but it's been a lot of movies shot here in Louisville.
You mentioned earlier that there's a lot of directors and actors, like Louisville has a lot of talent. What are some local people that's making noise in the end?
Oh, it's a lot. I mean, I'm gonna be honest and say the cast I have. Mm-hmm. We have which she couldn't be here tonight, Julie Parker. Then we have
John DeMario, Brown.
John Johnson, Aaron Downs. You know, some actually newcomers. Erica Dean. We have Nita Dean. So it's a lot of. And I'm speaking on for some people I've worked with, but we've worked with a lot of people. Actually, some couple of people just had a premiere a couple of weeks ago. Gwendolyn
and Theo.
Theo Macklin.
Mackie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mackie. They just had a premiere of a film they just dropped. You know, like I said, Miles Jordan, White, and it's a few other people we've worked with that's still doing their thing in the city.
So what are some challenges and opportunities for production and can stay in the state?
Challenges is sometimes having the right cast members, because you can host auditions and somebody can audition for it and you pick them for the role, but it might not still work out that way.
Yeah.
Has it ever been a problem like that, like the cast didn't clash with each other, like the chemistry was off? And if so, like how did you overcome
it? I can say yes, because we did a movie called Lifeline about 5 years ago, and we tried it three times, different times with three different, you know, casts. And honestly, the first cast we did, they did great, but it just didn't match the age. You know, it was some younger people, but it didn't match the age that we were looking for. So we kind of like scratched it. Then the second time, it just didn't add right. Then the third time, same thing. So we kind of like put that on the back burner. Because it's a great concept and everything that's going on. It's just more of we want the right people. And by us doing this film, Unravel Loyalties, by us having the right cast,
right.
That didn't do nothing motivate us to, you know, either use the cast we got here,
right.
Like Tyler Perry do, mm-hmm. and go to this movie.
Because that's the plan.
Yeah.
Because they did, oh my God, they did great, man. I'm talking about, shout outs to this cast, man. They did a thing.
Like, what do you mean by like great? Like, with this good acting, like,
across the board.
All across the board. Their acting is amazing. And we had a great time filming.
And you know what's so crazy about it? We understand because, DeMario, he's a comedian. He's used to being in front of camera. He's used to being
funny.
You know, he used to doing what he do. So that was easy. He wasn't shy to the camera. Erin Downs, she's a singer. Mm-hmm. So she's used to doing the music videos, and we've been knowing Aaron for a long period of time. And to go back to Mario, I've been knowing him for years. Mm-hmm. And we always said we were going to do some stuff together, but at the same time, maybe that wasn't the right time then.
So is this your first time working together?
Yes. Well, actually, not Erin. Erin Downs, she was in the Uber movie that we had and with Rico Lovelace and Steven Anderson and... Yeah, this is my first time
working with Mario.
So speaking of Rico Lovelace, how was it working with him?
Oh, wow. He's
an amazing person. He's funny as hell.
Yeah, he kept us laughing. Yeah, he kept us laughing the whole time.
Rico, you know, life is short for him. And if Rico was still here, Rico would be probably out in L.A. somewhere right now. Or Atlanta. You know, doing some right. stuff. Put it like this. Rico... I believe Rico would be on that tour that Mike Epps is taking out right now.
Really?
Read them once. Because Rico was going. He was going. He was actually going, man. The guy was a great comedian.
He was, man. Yeah. R.I.P. Mm-hmm. So which one would you say is more important? The storyline? Like, what makes a good film?
I think the cast makes a good film. Because without them, I mean, you just got pen and paper.
Right.
They got to bring it to life.
Then also a great writer. And for this being Shay's first time writing, she did a great job on it. And a great director. And not saying it because matter of fact, we have another director, actually, David Turner, Hot Rod. He helped direct this movie too. And, you know, we've been working with him because that's actually Shay's cousin. We've been working with him for a long period of time. And he know our techniques. So, you know, a great director as well. And actually, Shay actually directed on this too.
Okay.
And not to take nothing from nobody else that's on the cast, our cast was helping direct. So right. that turned out great because we had more than one or two creative ideas. Everybody pitched in. One person just can't take the full credit for this movie. Everybody pitched in on this one, and that's what we love. That was something different for us too.
Yeah,
we never had that working with other cast members before.
Listen, man, I can't wait to see this movie, man. Yeah. So when is it released?
January 3rd.
And where can they find it? Like, where can they?
Actually, we're selling tickets on Eventbrite, and the premiere will be at The Great Escape.
Okay.
There. Yeah, off of Blankenbaker. Yeah, it'll be out there.
So how many screens y'all going to be on? Just to...
what we're doing with this one, seeing how it goes, everything goes good, and we're confident that it will. We'll be trying to take it to different cities and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah. That's amazing, man.
Right.
January 3rd. Is it a certain time? Is it a
7.
Yes, 7 o'clock.
7 p.m. Yeah.
7 p.m.
Okay, live premiere. January 3rd, 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the movie again?
Unraveled Loyalties.
Unraveled Loyalties.
And one more thing before you go any further. To up and coming or anybody that's actually doing filming in Louisville, we giving opportunities to put their movie trailers before our movie come on. You know, if anybody want to, go that route, you know, just contact us. You know, Vision One is our.
Okay, so you like okay, I got you. It's like an ad space type of thing.
Yeah, trailers or any business want to put their promote their business or filmmakers
or
anybody or podcast.
You know,
if you got a trailer or something, you know, we don't mind because we want to bring Louisville together.
We definitely could cook up us like a trailer, like a highlight reel. Yeah. How long got to be, like 45 seconds, 30 seconds, like
the max is like almost 60, almost commercial time a little bit, 60 to
Okay.
And we have like a little scale of. How people will want to put their stuff in the lineup of, what it is to cost to do it and everything like that. So.
Okay. Before we switch it up, like, what were some of your inspirations growing up? Like, inspirations to being a movie director, be into the business, both of you?
For me, my mama was my inspiration. and my grandmothers. Without them, I wouldn't even had this vision because it wasn't a vision for me. It actually started off with what they wanted for me, and it led into something that I love and I enjoy doing.
So was they in the business too? Was they?
Nope. Nope, that's what's crazy. Really? Nope.
So what made, like, you know?
I don't know. I really don't know. Uh-huh. I guess so.
And shout out to grannies and the mamas, man. Right. Mm-hmm. What were some of your inspirations growing up?
Actually, it was being told no, man. You know what I mean?
I can't do something.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, I've always been creative, you know, with art itself. And, you know, with, like, Mario Van Peebles, you know, people like that. The guy that did Friday, DJ Pooh. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know he wrote that until
DJ Pooh, stuff like that. And some of the black pioneers back in the day, because my family, you know, from Detroit, so we used to just watch karate movies and, you know, mm-hmm. at the movies like that, watching movies where you seeing stuff happen. I just love watching movies, man, because I can pick a movie. They did that way. They did this. Oh, that ain't supposed to be there. And I'm always seeing stuff that ain't supposed to be in a movie. Like Tubi, it's good seeing a lot of that stuff. But at the same time, it's like, okay, I just like paying attention to certain things.
So what's your favorite, one of your favorite karate movies?
Into the Dragon.
Into the Dragon?
Yeah, Bruce Lee. Yeah, because, you know, he choreographed all that stuff.
Really?
Yeah, Bruce Lee directed a lot of his movies and choreographed a lot of his movies. Then, With Jim Kelly, from being from Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he was in Into the Dragon, the black guy that's in the movie.
Yeah.
So, you know, Bruce Lee was one of my, and Elvis Presley was one of some of my, you know.
Elvis Presley?
Yeah.
I watched, that was a good movie. That was a great movie.
It was a great movie.
It'll give you insight on it. But my mom, when I was 15, she made me, this is before internet and mm-hmm. the Five, do you ever seen the Five Deadly Venoms?
Yes.
I have a certain time. She didn't know the name of the movie, so I'm going around in the mall asking people. It's about five ninjas and one's blind, one this.
Yeah.
I'm like a chicken with my head. I got it for a birthday. It made a day, man.
Yeah, everybody had their own technique mm-hmm. in that movie. Was it the snake, the crane? Different ones. The drunken master, the monkey, and
Because there's two of them. It was one about animals, and the first one, like, one was blind, one was deaf, one couldn't see. One didn't have arms, one didn't have legs, and they all came together and they overcame adversity.
So I don't, like, you, speaking of karate movies, because you just said that, what's crazy is back, I'm a little older,
mm-hmm.
but back in the day, Kung Fu Theater used to come on Saturday mornings here in Louisville. It was a channel that came on. They showed all the karate movies before 12 o'clock.
Really?
Yeah. See, I'm 50, so I remember them days and stuff like that. But if you go on your streaming networks, you can see a lot of them karate movies. Yeah. Into the Dragon, Chinese Connection, all of Fist of Fury, all of Bruce Lee movies. I love that Bruce Lee dude. He was amazing.
And what happens is?
Roku got it. You know, the live streaming on it. Yeah.
So would you say movies was better back when they had hard ticket sales? Would you say streaming has hurt movies?
I wouldn't say streaming hurt it. Streaming is giving you a way to get your stuff seen.
Right.
More than anything, Tubi has helped like crazy.
I used to bag on Tubi movies, but then I got to realize the movies I'm seeing, you know, they not, you know, Star Wars or whatever, Bad Boys, they got a $50 million budget.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, $50,000 or $70,000,
yeah.
you know. Yeah. And they doing their thing, you know what I mean? Because it's a lot of toughness, that, you know, a lot of things to go into a movie. It ain't, and when you do out of pocket or independent film, it's a little tougher. You know, it ain't gonna be the high quality effects. And
but you know what? They've made it to where editing and putting that stuff together,
mm-hmm.
they've made it to where you can look like Hollywood.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have to have the right people, the actors and the actors, to make a great movie, man. You know, I've seen some people, make a long story short, the movie Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Michael Myers?
Yes. It was two college students that did that. And they didn't think it was going to go nowhere. But look at it today. They did it on the cheapest stuff they had because they didn't have no money.
Right.
And look where it turned out to be.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I do a lot of
research and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. Halloween.
So I see you brought somebody.
John Carpenter.
Oh yeah, I see you brought some of the cast with, mm-hmm. with you. So I'm gonna let you introduce some of your cast. We're gonna switch it out.
Okay.
We're gonna bring in some fresh legs. So what cast do you got here?
We got D. Mario, the comedian.
Mm-hmm. And Aaron Downs.
Downs.
The singer.
Oh, okay, let's do it. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for a spot that's got everything you need to roll, puff, or relax, pull up to Smokers Castles Outlet. From premium cigars, vapes, Kratom, all your smoking essentials, they got it fresh, affordable, and all in one place. So skip the runaround. Smokers Castle Outlet is your go-to smoke shop. Big selection, better prices, and good vibes. Located at 4431 Dixie Highway, Louisville, Kentucky. Located next to Cricket Wireless. 4431 Dixie Highway, Louisville, Kentucky.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Man, thank y'all for having us on, man.
I appreciate y'all stopping by. Man.
I feel bigger and lazier already. This is nice.
So how long have y'all been, actors and been into the game?
Since yesterday? Just playing. Acting, yeah, that's really not. Uh-huh. I like to sing and just do that type of performing. I've never had a role so big. In Uber, my role was small. I just had my one little line.
So this is your acting debut, per se.
Okay. I hope y'all ready.
Okay.
She had more than one line.
Huh?
What?
Yeah, more than one line.
In Uber?
Yeah.
Uber, it was just like, it wasn't as deep as this one. Mm-hmm. You say that. So.
So was that difficult, like, trying on a new role, like, being a,
It wasn't difficult. It was just me getting out of my head. That was all really hard.
Couldn't tell. She did her thing in this movie.
So how long have you been been in the film or been a comedian?
I mean, well, I've been doing stand up since 2009, 2002, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I mostly do like skits and I do a lot of musical parodies, and most of my parodies I make my parody into like a little production. I have some on the beginning, some on the end. It's like a little. Kind of one of them little Michael Jackson type situations. I always keep a little something. But this is my first movie, though.
Really?
James never did believe in me, man. Uh-huh. So I've been asking a long time. I've been like, let me get in. But, I'm a church boy. Uh-huh. So a lot of the stuff that they were doing, they was like, no, you might not like this stuff. So, right. You know what I mean? But I finally talked them into it, man. It took a lot, man. They put my references, my social, my credit. I thought my credit was gonna keep me out. But they let me. But they let me in. And then I don't even get to be a comedian in the movie. I act as a comedian, but But it's not like a funny role though. It's still dramatic. So it's a different. It's different from because I'm used to. Purposely being goofy, right? But in this film, I'm not goofy. This is a serious role. Now, behind the scenes, we have a whole lot of fun, right. but the role itself is, it's not.
Are you the main character in the film?
No, I'm not. I'm not the main character. I guess I'm one of them. So this is like a Martin, Gina, Pam, Tommy, Cold situation.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like something like that. You know what I mean? That this film is like a close-knit group of friends. So I wouldn't say,
Right.
I'm one of them. Yeah.
You're a co-star.
Yeah. I mean, they couldn't do it, did it without me.
Right.
No, I'm just playing. But it's a chunky role. It's a part in there. But people who know me and follow me, they're going to be very, very surprised. So I would be surprised if I don't go viral.
Really? I can't wait to see this, man. So how long you say you've been doing comedy for since 2009?
Since I think 2000. I'm getting old too now. I think 2009. Might have been 2010. Somewhere in there is when I officially started, getting on stage and telling jokes and whatnot. Behind the camera, though, that was 2012. My show was 2012, I think.
So I had a
TV show that ran on Ion for 2.5. Don't worry about the half. Don't front me. But 2.5 seasons.
Why the half seasons, man?
we didn't make it all the way through the three. Let's just know. but we was on, which was, I used to say it was America's number one low budget TV show, no budget TV show, and which I was listening earlier. You were talking about like the Tubi movies and stuff. Huh? I used to be like one of those, and then I had to remember where I came from. I was like, yeah. You're tripping. Uh-huh. And I remember I used to call my stuff little because it was like, it's no budget, it's little, whatever. And I never forget another comedian, former comedian, Juan Rico, he pulled me to the side one day. He said, "Hey, don't ever let me hear you call your stuff little no more." He said, "I don't care what kind of budget it is." He said, "You talking to people who watch bootleg movies? Back then, we watched bootlegs. Yeah. You know what I mean?"
The DVD man was a
That was a staple in the black community. The DVD guy.
Yeah.
So Tubi. So you watch a Tubi movie, man. I never forget the first one I watched. I sat and watched trying to impress somebody. I'm like, they're watching as I was watching it. And I'm like, dang, this is good. I'm like, yeah, I don't watch part two and three the same night, all in one night. So I'm excited for people to see this one now.
What was the name of your TV show?
The Mario Show.
It
was a talking variety show. We did skits and sketches and all that kind of stuff on there.
I got you. Yeah. So do you remember that first time you hit the stage? Like, what was you, that first time?
The first time I got up to tell jokes? Yeah, man, that was crazy all in itself because somebody tricked me. Dennis, my boy Dennis, he tricked me and he signed me up for open mic. I was a trainer in a call center. Uh-huh. And he signed me up for open mic. And I'm like, man, I ain't doing that. And then the first time I went, he had my name signed up, but I'm like, I wasn't going to do it. But everybody on there was very mid. So I'm like, you know what? I can do this. Yeah. That's what everybody think. So then next week, everybody came. All the church people came. All the people from work came. Family.
Oh, man.
Sold the Caravan Comedy Club out. Packed it out.
For your first point? That's amazing.
First time, it went crazy. It went crazy. And I got a rush that at that point, I was like, oh, man, I ain't never stopping this, ever.
Right.
And I was cool with it. And, I've been going there since. Well, I did. I quit for a little while. You know what I mean? I had other little stuff. I stopped and did some ministry and all that kind of stuff. And then you know, I came back. And that's another reason when I called James and I was telling James, hey, I said, I'm back all the way. Give me something. Give me something.
Right.
And so he threw me a little bone on this one. And
that's amazing.
Turned out to be this.
So what were some of the favorite moments on set and shooting the film?
Some of my favorites, probably it being a lot of it is improv.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of being able to just go do it that route. We'll kind of have an idea of what we're going into as far as the scene goes.
Yeah.
But we can kind of just feed off of each other versus trying to remember lines, because that was kind of like something that had me nervous. I'm like, lines, oh God, I got to remember lines. But I like that part of it.
And it's so crazy. She's so modest.
Uh-huh.
She's so cold. She was so cold online. We were doing some improv.
Yeah.
I had some lines I would say that I said, okay, this is going. And then she would have a comeback so cold that it would just be like, I'm like, well, God, dog, she's cold. She acts all shy and stuff. She's good.
That's just it.
This is your first acting?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. You got a natural.
I got a natural.
So what are you playing now?
Would you say?
Do you play a singer in the movie?
No. Actually, now it comes natural, but let me say this. I actually play the side chick. It don't come natural because I'm a side chick.
Okay.
I'm like, y'all know that.
Natural.
But I'm very versatile. You tell me what we doing, where we going, I'm going to get into that. I'm going to get into that role.
So what were some of your inspirations growing up?
My mother, really. She sung, so go in church.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we was going to all the church services. Just watching her be a servant of God and just do what she loved to do. Ooh, that just kind of inspired me to do the same.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So what was some of your favorite?
Anytime your mama gonna be proud of that one.
I love my mama. Hey, girl.
What was some of your favorite moments on the set? Like, what was behind the scenes, off the scenes?
When I tell you, just being back, first of all, just being back in entertainment and doing what I love. But this is a group. When James and Shay was up here talking about the cast, when I tell you,
they big up cast though. They big every. Hey, they shout the cast out.
It's good.
But it was fun. I've had the most fun. And the crazy part, and I ain't gonna get real deep, but you know,
if you want to,
this the last year has been. This has probably been one of the worst or hardest years like my whole life.
Yeah.
And so I've been staying busy. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Right. I've been staying busy to, you know, keep my mind occupied. And so when I started doing this, it's like, I don't know. I don't want to put them somewhere where they ain't put me. But you know, but you know what I mean? I like them like family now. I feel, you know what I mean? We spend so much time together, talking every day.
Yeah.
Nights, early morning, all this stuff, you know what I mean? And so now it's like, man, I really love these people. These people, well, one of them is my cousin.
It's like we're really lost, even though we're going through this.
Right.
Just to have a good circle of people that we can count on outside of the movie is dope.
Yeah, so that's my. I enjoyed it. I have fun, and they supportive. We support each other. We show up to outside events. I just had a show the other night. I looked up. I didn't even know. I looked up. Here come the whole cast. The whole cast in there. You know what I mean? And they bought tickets.
That's the girls.
Head out. You know, they paid.
Uh huh.
Wow.
That's amazing, right there.
Black people don't pay for.
So what was your show at? You are hilarious.
Every Friday night, first Friday, I do a series, The Mario Late Night Comedy Kickback at Dasha Barber's.
Oh, okay.
At Dasha Barber's downstairs.
Yeah, the restaurant here.
Yeah, it's fun too. It's fun. We had a good time.
So you said you took a break. So and you bounced. Like, what was that break like? And what made you come back into the entertainment spotlight?
So, man, you know, life happens. For real, life happens. But I'm an ordained minister. Uh-huh. Right? Matter of fact, when we were talking earlier, Rico was one of my boys. I did his eulogy, you know, at his funeral. You know what I mean? That was my guy, you know what I mean? And so, you know, I was doing some ministry things and a couple of things didn't work out. And of course, I believe, you know, I'm going to be a believer till I can't breathe no more. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be a believer. But I said, when I moved from that chapter in my life, I'm like, well, I only really chilled out from the entertainment stuff so that I could really focus on, you know, on the ministry stuff. And I didn't want people to look at me sideways and confusing, you know what I mean? And so at the beginning of this year, January, I said, you know what? No, last January, I said, you know what? God gave me some gifts. I'm going to do everything he gave me. You know what I mean? Everything he gave me to do, I'm going to try to do it. And so, you know, and so here it is. I get my first movie. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
When you're a believer, they try to put you in a box. I didn't mean to cut you off, but you know, they try to make you uncomfortable doing what you feel like God has purposed you to do. So it's kind of like a battle that you have with yourself, because I done experienced it too with singing.
Yeah.
Like, I love the Lord, and I'm not ashamed to profess it. Mm. But some of my songs are secular. So it's like people's looking at you like you can't love the Lord if you just over here talking about that.
Right.
Like, I'm just sharing my story. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, real talk.
And it's just, you gotta just.
She said, you said that perfectly.
Keep pushing through.
That's another thing about this movie. Myself, you know, people who know me, they know that I have a very religious based comedy and humor and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of my following and stuff, most of them are, you know, they know me from being the funny church boy, goofy church boy. You know what I mean? They know that, the comedian, but they know that. But the movie also has one of the other cast members is a national gospel recording artist. Really? You know, Jonathan Johnson.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's got a record out right now. You know what I mean? He won Sunday's Best, or he was on Sunday's Best years ago. But both of us, we had, you know, this conversation before, you know, about, hey, look, God give us stuff. We're going to, you know.
Got
to use what he gave you. You know what I'm saying?
Because that's a part of the reason I kind of got started in the podcast. Like, I had an original podcast, but it wasn't nothing like this. And everybody kept telling me I was funny. You got good interesting takes on things. You can talk well. And my former co-host, he was like, come on, man, you got to do it. You got to do it. And I said, I can't keep ignoring it. You know, because I used to cut my hair. I'm like, every time we got to do the podcast.
You can't ignore it. It's going to keep on. You're going to be reminded.
And look at you now. Because you're doing a good job right now. I'll be checking that stuff out. I'm like, she even said it. She said, he got good.
Somebody on your podcast on my timeline. And then now I'm sitting here. So it was dope.
Amazing.
she said he got good questions.
Yeah, it was Smoketown Nave.
Oh, yeah, sure. Smoketown Nave. That was a real big support. That was a good good conversation.
Yeah.
We had real good points.
Good music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could went on for 2-3 hours. Like some, you know, some of these people, like the conversation is just so good and go so interesting. We can record forever and ever.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what is you're a comedian. Well, I'm gonna ask you your Mount Rushmore of comedians.
I hate that question.
Oh, man.
So,
I'm on the spot.
You ask me no singers.
The reason I hate that question. The reason I hate that question is because I'm one of them people, like, I love and appreciate something of everybody. Like, you know what I mean?
Your personal.
Like, somebody says, I just don't get when people be like, such and such, they ain't funny at all to me. I'm like, at all. Come on,
right.
Bro. At all. Come on now. You know what I mean? But all right, here we go. Mount Rushmore, that's 4 or 5?
4.
That's only 4. I'm with the Valley. I give it. All right, 4. 4, can't, no self-respecting comedian, African-American comedian, is going to not say Richard Pryor. Correct. All right? Richard Pryor is, regardless, I don't care what you say. All right? Because I love comedy and film and sketches and skits, my GOAT is Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy, okay.
That's my GOAT, just because of all the things he does. This is the one, I'm putting one there that nobody else is ever going to say. They're going to probably ride me out for saying it. I don't care, because you said I can do my personal ones, right?
Yeah, sure.
This one, he does sketches, he does comedy, he sings. He believes in Jesus, and he does the big screen. That's Jamie Foxx. Everybody can't do everything he does.
You said Jamie Foxx is a legend. Why would you?
He's a legend.
People look at you different.
Because nobody put him on the Mount Rushmore of comedians.
Okay,
of comedians. But I do, because I understand multi. When you're multi gifted,
yeah.
When you that's a whole. I ain't gonna preach on here, but when you're multi gifted, people don't give you a lot of credit. They say you need to focus on that, not that. Yeah. And you don't understand, when you're gifted in multiple areas, you can't ignore one for the other. You know what I mean?
Right.
You can't do it. And it's not. And I don't suggest that you do it. Do everything you get. Exhaust yourself. At my funeral,
somebody to focus on.
Man, yeah, right. At my funeral, I want my obituary to be 3 pages if it got to be. He did this too. He did this too. He did this. All right. You know what I mean? But. Number 4.
Ah, man.
Woo-wee.
Ah, man. Dude. I thought you was going Dave Chappelle when you said skits. And
That's where I would put Dave Chappelle, but not because of the skits and sketches, which he's cold on that too. But his pen, his brain, his pen, how he sets up, his punch, the way he does it.
Mm-hmm.
He's smart.
He is.
Everybody don't like Dave Chappelle because a lot of people are slow.
Right.
And they don't want to have to think. You know what I mean? Like, for real, I'm just saying, a lot of people don't want to have to think. And so if you notice the evolution of Dave Chappelle's humor, he's been funny from the get-go.
Right.
But now he's at a stage in his life, and I think I mirror his mindset right now, because I'm at a stage in my life where I don't care.
Right.
I don't care if you like me no more. And he's at that place where he can say, but he does it so, he's so crafty. He's just,
He is.
You know, and that, so that's why I have to put him there. But there's so many other comedians that I didn't even name my favorite 2 comedians of all time. These are just that's my Mount Rushmore, who I would say is great, but them are not even my favorite.
Who's your favorite? You got to put your favorites on your Mount.
No, I won't put them on my Mount Rushmore. They're my favorite, but I don't say I won't put them on my Mount Rushmore. So it's like basketball players. I got my favorites, but they still not the, they don't mean they to go. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I like classic comedians like Red Fox and Rodney Dangerfield, Michael Collier. I like those types of comedians that tell jokes.
Right.
That's what I like. That's what I listen to in my private time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So what is your favorite thing? What is your Mount Rushmore singers?
Hoo-wee. Of course, number one, I'm going to say my mama, because that's where I got my voice from. Whitney Houston, of course. You can't not say Whitney.
Hippie.
Amazing. Celine Dion. It's kind of different. But I love Celine. I love Celine Dion.
That's a curveball right there.
What about Kiki Wyatt?
Them or just vocal, vocally, those are, they probably my top.
So this movie is coming out January 3rd. Like, what can they see for both of y'all? What can they expect from the movie? Like, if you had to sum it up in maybe like three sentences, three or four, like a thesis statement.
By way of introduction, I would say you're going to see a group of, a close-knit group of friends who may or may not have some secrets, who may or may not find out that there are a lot of, there are some dangerous things that can happen when you're unloyal.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. That sounds...
That's it, right there. That's it.
You ain't got nothing to follow up with?
I got nothing to follow up
with. I want to follow up.
Well, I'm going to plug for her because she ain't going to do it. She's got a whole, she has music that's going to be featured in the film, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So you already there, or did you create it just for the soundtrack or just for the movie?
I actually already had it, and it just happened to fit right on in with it.
Oh, okay. That's amazing. So,
yeah. It's called Late Night. It'll be streaming around the time, so Late Night by Aaron Downs.
Is that an album or a single?
It's a single. Okay. I do have a mixtape coming out. I don't really have the date for that, but I plan on having it all together, so I'm just kind of waiting for it to my release date and all that. I just got to submit the music and then.
Would this be your first project? Your first?
No, it's not. I've done an EP called Broken Vessel. That was probably back in 2019, like right before COVID, I would say. I did an EP with Billy Williams. He's from Louisville.
Williams?
Yeah, it's actually his. We did a collaborative EP.
Yeah.
And it basically just talks about relationships, how to keep them going. So a little bit of trust. Understanding, you know, the things that you got to have to keep that shit rolling. And that's all streaming. You can look that all up on any platform that streams music. It's called Perspectives. And the new one, I think I'm going to title it Remnants. So it's just a lot of songs that I have yet to put out. I've been having them for a while. So I'm like,
why didn't
put
that out. Remnants.
Remnants, just because it's a lot of stuff that I've just had laying around for forever. So, but it's quality. Mm-hmm. Don't get it twisted. It's quality.
So is there anybody in the city or maybe nationally that you would like to work with?
In the city.
As far as on the music?
Everybody. I don't...
You don't have to name me.
If you work it, bye. If you really, like, do your thing, you put videos out, I'm open to working with a lot of people. And I'm versatile, too, like I say. I like to sing, but I can do a little wordplay. So, yeah, I'm open to all that. I like collaborating, so if you want to collaborate, we can collaborate. Of course, I'm going to check your stuff out first, though, see what you're talking about. Before I give you the yes, but but yeah, I'm open to anybody in the city.
You heard it, man. She's open for collab. She's open to work. January 3rd,
2026.
26, uh-huh. Yeah.
7:00 p.m.
Be there at B Square. Don't miss it out. And it's a nice event. We kind of upscale with it, red carpet.
Mm-hmm.
So you can come.
Yeah. With that show. And don't wherever you are, don't wait. Yeah. You can get tickets. Get your tickets now. Go to Eventbrite right now. So we can, if we get enough, we might be able to add another show. You know what I mean? But right now, go ahead and get those tickets. Because let me tell you something. I'm calling them out. The Martins is going to show up. My church folk is about to show up. I got people, listen.
So come suited and booted.
I got friends from Chicago that's talking about driving down January 3rd. Y'all go ahead and get y'all tickets so y'all can get a good seat.
We appreciate the support.
Y'all going to be on the front row looking like this. You know what I mean?
Going to get the seizure, man. I'm right. Glad you like it. That's amazing. Thanks for stopping by. January 3rd, go check out the movie. We appreciate all the support. You want to shout out the socials before we get out of here?
Yeah.
TheMario.com, TheMario.com, at I am the Mario everywhere for me.
Okay. And my handle is at Aaron Downs, ERINDOWNS 502, and that's on all platforms.
Does the movie get a page?
It has a website.
It has a website? Okay. Mm-hmm. What's that website?
I don't know what it is. Vision/1.
That's the website, official website of the movie. Go check it out.
Eventbrite for your tickets.
I assume it's .com. Eventbrite for the tickets. We're going to put, when these clips are out, we're going to start putting tag the link in the bio.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, make sure you watch Big and Lazy.
Yeah, man. Get you some merch too, man. It's a nice comfy pillow. It's double sided, so one side get dirty. Yeah.
It's dope.
Appreciate that.
It's cool.
Okay. We're going to just like that. Be Fines. That's my personal IG. Big and Lazy Pod is the page IG. Thank y'all for the support.
Unravel loyalties.
Another confirmed multimedia production confirmed.
Subscribe now.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. Give us something good to eat. Give us something good to watch.